More than 15,000 transgender people may secretly be serving in the military. Last May, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel agreed to review the rules that prohibit transgender service members from serving openly. Now, three retired general officers release a roadmap for a new policy. Joining me with more is Major General Gail Pollack, former Acting Surgeon General of the Army and Commission Report Co-Chair. General Pollack, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for the opportunity to address transgender military service.
All right, so give us the background on this. These people are said to or thought to be serving, but they're serving in secret. And I guess Chuck Hagel decided it's time to look at this in the light of day.
Yes, I'm delighted that Secretary Hagel was willing to review the policy, and I'm very excited that our review of 18 other countries, all our allies, who have already approved the concept of transgender service in their militaries, we were able to evaluate what they had done, how they had done it, and hopefully provide a really good roadmap for the way forward.
So, in other words, at this point, it is still not a policy that's allowed in the U.S. military, but your report is trying to give the Secretary a way to make it happen?
Yes. Transgender individuals have served over the years. We know that. The research has very clearly confirmed all of that, and they've served honorably. But just like the issue for the gay and lesbian community, where they had to serve in secret, they couldn't tell people who they were because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we ask these men and women who are volunteers, who are citizens who want to serve their country, to lie the entire time they're in the service. And that's just morally wrong. In the past, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, he also referred to the whole issue of integrity, that we ask people to come into the military and then live a lie in organizations that value integrity at the highest levels.
So let's define transgender. In other words, there are people who believe that they were born into the wrong gender and they are really should be the other. Some people go so far as to take different medicines and have operations to physically change themselves into the other gender. Some simply, I guess, act the other way or dress the other way. So define what you mean by transgender, or is it all of the above?
It's all of the above. Transgender individuals have they know inside of them that what sex they are. Their mind says, this is my sex, but their external sex organs are not in conjunction with that. And it doesn't really matter, because what matters is the fact that they're capable young men and women who want to serve their nation. So it doesn't really matter how it happened or why it happened. It's a reality in our society. And we have a volunteer military, and we ought to welcome the young men and women who want to serve their nation. We have very few limitations on medications or previous surgeries to join the military, and the exceptions for this group should be eliminated.
Right, let's talk about some of the lessons that you say have been learned by looking at these other 18 militaries that are allies that do have a policy for open service by transgenders. What are some of the top lessons you feel could be applied here?
I think the most important thing was that there was no reduction in military readiness, because that was there were three general officers on there on our commission. We're all very concerned about sustaining military readiness, and there's no information from any of those countries that this has been a problem. And I would submit that it will be just as easy for our young troops, service members across each of the services, to work with an openly transgender individual as it has been for them to work with openly gay and lesbian troops.
So it's a matter of cultural acceptance then by the officers and the other troops?
Yeah, I think it's acceptance by the troops, and it's strong leadership. When you know that your leaders say, we may be different, it doesn't matter, we're all here for the same mission. And then you have young men and women who are more and more exposed to the fact that people are expressing who they really are. We don't hide it like it was hidden 20 or 30 years ago. And so the leadership has not been as exposed to open gays and lesbians, open transgender. So they're like, well, I don't know much about this. I spent a great deal of time trying to educate myself on the topic before I was willing to be part of the panel. So I knew what I was getting into. And the more I learned, the more important I believed that inclusion of the transgender community is the right thing to do.
And tell us more about, I think Great Britain is one of the militaries that you mentioned in the report. I'm looking at the summary here. And what have they done, and what have some of their successes been?
Well, they have a policy so that as soon as an individual has decided that they're going to transition, they are then recognized in that what's called the target gender. So where you believe you should be. And so they're issued all of the correct uniforms. They're held to the target gender physical requirements. So it's really not an issue because they simply say, okay, we have very clear policies for both men and women, what expectations are for uniforms, for physical standards. And, you know, when they identify with that, and in the U.S., we would use a physician to work with them to say, yes, you're ready for that. And then effective that day, they start working in the correct gender.
We're speaking with Gail Pollack. She's former acting Surgeon General of the Army and a commission report co-chair on the report with respect to transgender serving in the U.S. military. And you, I think you've answered my next question, but I want to elaborate a little bit more that the requirements for strength and conditioning of the target gender come into play here, because that's been a big debate, a big issue, I guess, in the U.S. military with respect to women in combat. And there's been reports that some, you know, the women that have tried, say, to do the Marine Corps basic training requirements for combat have just not been strong enough to be able to get through it. And so how would this play out for transgenders?
It will play out the same way. If you are transitioning from female to male, you will be expected to achieve the male standards. And if you can't, then the military should not retain you. But if you can achieve those standards, then just like every other male, you're kept on because you achieve the standards.
Now, there are quite a number of non-combat jobs, too, throughout the military. Do you envision a implementation where transgenders could serve in some of those jobs that aren't frontline combat initially?
No, there should not be a separate category for transgender, because they have a target gender. They're male or female. And they make the decision about what is right for them to correct that mismatch. And then they serve and they meet all of the criteria of that target gender. We don't need, it would be absolutely ridiculous, pardon me, to establish a third, because there is no third.
All right. So now that the report is written, what's the status now? Is this with the secretary? I mean, what happens next?
Well, we've made it available to the secretary, and all of us are willing to serve as resources. And we're hopeful that Secretary Hagel will move forward and allow transgender individuals, pardon me again, to both enter the military and to be retained without respect to their sexuality.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask you again when it gets down to the cultural. I mean, this really gets down to a day-to-day issue for the people serving in depots and garrisons and air bases and mm-hmm. naval facilities throughout the world. I mean, that's really where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And people that live in barracks and dormitory types of situations have shared bathrooms. And so if someone is now, say, a female, but the target gender is male, or vice versa, which facilities do they use while they're still in the where they are before they reach the target?
They're managing it right now because they're already in the service, and they have found ways to work with that. And I would tell you that when we allow men and women to enter the service when they have already identified as transgender, the men and women who run the basic trainings, the advanced individual training. They're young, they're creative. That's why they make such wonderful service members for us. They're going to figure it out. I really don't believe that there are significant challenges here. It will be a change, but the military is all about change.
All right. Major General Gail Pollack is former Acting Surgeon General of the Army and the Commission Report co-chair. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate your time today.